Luke 9, verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. James and John were with him. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what they said. This thing about heavy was sleep. Sleep is the word hypno, where we get hypnosis. But heavy is bario, B-A-R-E-O. And it means you're heavy with the effect of drowsiness, as it is here. But you're heavy with the effect of gluttony. Let's go to Luke 21. It's just a warning from Jesus. Take heed to yourselves, verse 34, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So the idea of this heavy is what's the word here is surfeiting. I'm not even familiar with that word. Anyhow, but the Let's look at the present state. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life, and that the present state of we are burdened is this word bario. And then there's one other that's it's connected with the heaviness of persecution. So let's go back to chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. Here it's this is about the persecution that Paul was undergoing, and he said, let's start in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. And that word pressed out of measure is this word bario, the heaviness of the... Every time I read these kind of scriptures, I'm just shocked at how often we hear Copeland or Benny Hinn say that if you're suffering, there's secret sin in your life, or you haven't given enough money, or that's the main issue is, I think from God's standpoint, is they trivialize suffering. Yeah. All right, back to Luke 9. We were heavy with sleep. Let's go to Romans 13. When are Gary and Judy coming back?
Gary's going to be back Sunday night late, but I don't know about Judy.
You know, won't you? Huh?
Sunday.
Romans 13. Verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Now God, or Paul here, considers the spiritual condition of most believers asleep. You're asleep. Remember the exhortation, the last thing the priest says, or the rabbi says, on the feast of Rosh Hashanah. It's this prayer that the people would wake up and stop chasing the vain, empty shadows of life and start seeing with the eyes of faith. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Coming apart. I don't even get any sympathy.
No, not a whit.
Verse 13. All things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Awake, thou that sleepest. Let's go to Isaiah 60 and see it again. Arise, or wake up, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. One of the most interesting things to me from the standpoint of walk of faith, if you will, is that, at least for my mind, maybe my mind is the only one that does it, but My natural tendency, if there was something wrong or darkness or, you know, something that I perceived wasn't the way it should be, then my tendency would be to analyze the darkness, to see what to do about it. Make a PERT chart. I don't have PERT charts anymore, do they? You're probably the only one who knows what a PERT chart is.
I never heard of it. Well, I've heard you use it, and so I knew what it was in that context.
Okay.
What's a PERT chart? Is that an acronym for something?
Performance, blah, 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 blah. I forgot. But it's a little thing. If
plan, execute.
Yeah. It's like, for me, it was run for the state legislature. Win, then go this path. If I lost, then I'd go this path. But it all ended up at the...
It's a schematic of your life.
Right. Well, I had a schematic of my life. It was the biggest ego trip I've ever been on. But anyway. But the point is, you can't analyze... You don't get rid of darkness by analyzing it. You get rid of darkness by light. And so when the light has come, then all of the questions and all of the hidden darknesses and little shadows of turning, they just go away. And that's the simplest thing that I can ever say. Arise, shine, thy light has come. Let it shine. Anyhow, one more, Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. Starting chapter 3, verse 16. Remember what the Shema or Shema is?
Yeah. Jeff and I read this.
This is the Lord Shema.
Yeah. So the Lord what?
Shema or Shema. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not, or really it says him that serveth himself. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall a son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for the wicked one, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Unto you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Now remember, when the woman with an issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, anybody remember what that hem is named?
Well, I just knew it was the riband of blue that was talked about in, but I can't remember the name. It was talked about in the...
Zitzi.
What's
Zitzi.
Zitzi. What a funny name.
And it's the riband of blue that's around the bottom of the prayer shawl that Christ and all of more. But when this woman, that thing that they went out, it's called the wings. And so then that woman saw and touched that zitzi, because that was the healing, that was the fulfillment of this, the healing in his wings. And that's why she commended the woman, even though the disciples were...
Yeah.
All right. Back to Luke. They were heavy asleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. Now, it's interesting that it's just this, the normal word for they saw. They perceived with their senses this incredible thing. Now, I've had several visitations to the third heaven. And I had this one major waking vision. And it was in that Schatzkammer, the treasure museum in Vienna. And I was standing before that holy lance, the lance of Longines, or the one that supposedly pierced the side of Christ. And remember, we were there doing a documentary on Hitler's involvement in the occult. And he, this friend of his, that both saw this lance together at the same time, The friend is Robert Steiner. He's convinced that at that point Hitler was demon-possessed in a major way. And but anyway, for me, what happened, I saw this. What's that?
Tom Jones.
Music.
Tom Jones singing in the street.
It's Mitchell, the flamboyant.
Shoot him. Anyway, I saw this like millions and billions of people. They were moving slowly as one, all climbing, trying to get to the top of this mountain. And they were just moving in one mass. It was like locusts. And they were all trying to get to the top of the mountain. And then all I had to do was turn around. And I turned around, and there was the cross. And it was the fulfillment of everything if they just turned around and looked at the cross. And it was so real that it shook me for days. And that the idea that it's hard to conceive that the whole human race is deceived. It's not, you can't believe it. You can't believe that the one effect of the fall is this incessant need for self-realization. And that's and it's just, it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And all I have to do is stop and turn around and look at the cross. But this is what anyway, I don't know why I talked about that. But the reason is they saw with their senses. That's what. And I saw this vision as if I was looking at it with my senses. I mean, it wasn't some mental thing. It was, I was seeing it, and it just blew me away. Anyway, they saw his glory. And we talked about the doxa. And the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. Yeah. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into that cloud. Do you think you'd have done anything different than Peter? Let us make three tabernacles. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you?
No, I don't think so. It seems crazy looking at it from, you know, an observer's standpoint. I bet I would have done the same thing.
I remember that discussion we had a while back about with a certain person that isn't here today, about him thinking this place was special. This place isn't any more special than any other place. And the idea that anybody would think a place was special is just ludicrous. I mean, it just belies what Jesus said. If they say, what's, go here or go there. No, he's everywhere. It's equally. He is equally everywhere. Anyhow, that's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore. We're going to spend some time on this cloud and the glory and what happened and the three times that God, only Jesus Christ was the only Son of God, and he only spoke to him audibly three times. If you listen to these guys, we investigate. Every other minute, they're having a conversation with Jesus or God. It's just, no, they're just lying through their teeth. Well, you can't say that. Well, I just did it. Anyhow, take it, big guy.